Congress this week is weighing the president's plan for a Department of Homeland Security. A Senate panel meets today. Tomorrow, the full House is expected to begin debate on a slightly different plan. Some seemingly technical, though substantial, differences remain between the White House and lawmakers. One is whether the agency's more than 170,000 workers will have civil service or union protections. Homeland Security Director Tom Ridge was picked by President Bush to oversee the nation's safety after September 11th. He joins me now. Welcome, Governor Ridge.
Good morning. Nice to join you.
Thanks for being here. 170,000 workers and more than 20 federal agencies. How can such a large bureaucracy be nimble and effective in fighting terrorism?
Well, it's a very appropriate question to ask because it is the single largest reorganization that we've had in the federal government or would have since President Harry Truman reorganized the Department of Defense or began that process back in the late 40s. And I think the president's call to the Congress to give the new management team, the secretary and his or her team, the freedom to manage, some tools of flexibility dealing with the ability to reorganize and reorient and redirect some of the financial resources that would go to the existing agencies, and also to reorganize and redirect some of the personnel in order to make it as agile and as nimble and as effective as we possibly can.
The people who created NASA and the Department of Energy told us they worry that this new agency has a mission that's just too amorphous to essentially protect us from everything, from terrorism. Is this agency's job doable?
Well, I think the president has outlined four basic functions that are very clear, very specific. There's a great deal of clarity to the structure that the president has recommended the Congress create within the new Department of Homeland Security. Border consolidation. We need to know who's coming into this country, under what circumstances they're coming into this country. We need to check the cargo and the freight that's coming into this country. So unity at the border, whether it's airports, land ports, or seaports, is a critical piece of this effort, and there's a clear mission there. Giving strategic focus to the science and the technology and the public dollars that are directed in that direction through this agency as it relates to Homeland Security. Right now, dollars are expended in an ad hoc fashion. There's no real strategic focus as it relates to Homeland Security. Again, a very specific mission. Building an even stronger federal emergency management agency to help the state and local communities respond to a terrorist attack. And in doing so, if we work with them at the federal level and develop that an even stronger partnership with them at the local level, with the emergency medical people, with the firemen, with the policemen, we'll not only be better prepared to deal with a terrorist attack, but they'll be better prepared to deal with natural disasters and other man-made occurrences that are not terrorist attacks. So there's great strength there. And then finally, there's a real specific mission to take all the information gathered by the intelligence community, the CIA and the FBI and everybody else involved in that effort, and matching what we might view as credible threats, what we determine to be credible threats against infrastructure, and then giving specific directions to the private sector, to a particular community, to a particular site, the protective measures that they need to take in order to enhance their security. So I don't think it's an amorphous mission. I think it's very clear, very specific.
And how are you going to get information from those agencies, state, CIA, Defense Department, who aren't included in Homeland Security? How are you going to coordinate with them when we've seen there have been problems with the FBI and the CIA sharing information?
In the president's proposal, he provides language, very specific language, that creates an affirmative obligation on the CIA and the FBI to provide their reports and their analysis to this new agency. And because the INS, Immigration and Naturalization Service, the Coast Guard, the Transportation Security Administration, and other agencies and departments that will be moved into this new department have intelligence collection capabilities, that information would automatically be made available to this department and to the Secretary. So there's an affirmative obligation in the language that this information be shared. And I might add, on a day-to-day basis, my personal testimony that we meet every morning with the president, CIA director's there, the FBI director's there, the attorney general's there, the president's foreign policy advisor is there, Dr. Rice, and a few others. I see this information being shared by the principals. I know it's being shared by the institutions, but the president wanted to make sure that it continues to be shared regardless of who's in charge of the departments, and that's why there's language creating that obligation.
And the best way to do that would be within this new department?
Yes. The president believes that the ability, we don't have centralized a clearinghouse where the domestic terrorist information is located, and it is used, and a determination is made as to the credibility of that threat. And then that information is used to go out and work with the state government, local government, the private sector. I mean, 85% of what we consider to be critical infrastructure is owned by the private sector. The president feels very strongly that we need to create a new product, an intelligence product within our federal government. That is taking this intelligence analysis, matching it against these vulnerabilities that exist out there. I mean, we view them as economic assets, and our enemies view them as potential targets. And then having this department work with that particular sector just to ensure that they've done everything possible to enhance their protection.
Now, there's a controversial proposal from the president to review a 19th century law that essentially bans the military from conducting police activity on U.S. soil. What do you have in mind with that?
Well, I think there's been much conversation about concept, which, as you know, is called posse comitatus, and that is historically within this country, we do not give our military law enforcement responsibilities. And I think the discussion, the public discussion, is really about the private discussion that will undoubtedly occur between the new Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security and the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, once his new North American command is established, because I think it would be very appropriate for the two secretaries to determine what military assets would be available under what circumstances to support civilian authorities in the event of another terrorist attack. And I think it's unavoidable that that whole discussion of posse comitatus come up. And I think given the history, given the tradition, given the reluctance of this country to empower the military with the civilian law enforcement authorities, I've got to say, one, the discussion should be had, because there may be, under some extreme circumstances, the need to vest in the military some of those authorities, but I think it's very unlikely. But you should have the discussion. It's basically contingency planning, and that's what you'll need to do.
And some of those powers would be to make arrests?
Well, it could be. I mean, I think it's a very appropriate question. It flies in the face of decades of tradition in this country that we don't empower the military. But I think just a review of when we would use military personnel, when we would use military assets, because we have used the National Guard since 9/11. We have used aircraft. We have used the Coast Guard. So obviously, in terms of contingency planning, we need to think ahead. And I think at part of that, we would determine whether or not there were any circumstances, how extreme would the circumstances have to be if we modified, even in the slightest way, that age-old prohibition against giving law enforcement authority to the military.
Thank you very much for joining us.
It was good to talk with you this morning. Thank you very much.
Homeland Security Director Tom Ridge.